You're listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Bum, 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 bum. Ba-na-na.
And then I finish the episode and get into the crazy news. And Kelly's like, oh my God, how long is he going to do that? And I'm like, well, I mean, there's all the crazy news. It only goes so long, but then it keeps going through the outro. And then I'm looking.
Did you hear me laughing?
And then it keeps going even after that. And then at one point I look at how much time is left on the episode. It's like 2.5 minutes left, and there was no more words. There was no more music. It was just straight up fart noises at that point, which I thought was pretty funny.
I was cracking up because it goes right through Melissa's outro. You've listened to the two Bob. Oh man, I was cracking up.
Oh man, that was funny.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hi, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to the Best of TTB Volume 4 for Monday, November 27th, 2017.
All right. So it's the week of, so if people are wondering why we're not recording, it's the week of Thanksgiving. So we're busy commemorating the heritage of our country and the pilgrims who braved the ocean and many years ago and killed all the Indians. And that's why we're here.
And that's why we're eating turkey. So rather than recording and talking to each other directly, we're going to go ahead and take the week off and record this best of that you can listen to after Thanksgiving while you're still probably in your food coma.
Absolutely. Because, so I mean, you know, technically by the time this comes out, it'll be after Thanksgiving, but, you know, use your imagination. But in true Two Bobs fashion, we can't even have a best of episode without talking about beer. So let's get right into it.
Hey, bartender!
Not even really that hoppy today.
Mine's not hoppy at all. Actually, mine is pretty hoppy. For me, it's hoppy anyway. So,
well, mine's really low. So we're switching spots this time.
That's funny.
What do you got?
What I have here is a it's from a brewery that you know and love, Ballast Point.
Uh-huh.
And this is their Victory at Sea Porter with coffee and vanilla. It's an imperial, so it's pretty strong. It's 10% alcohol by volume. It's 60 IBUs. It's available year-round, and it is alcohol-y. Actually, Ballast Point, you've had it a couple times on the episode. I know you're a supporter of their brews. I think you had their Grapefruit Sculpin in episode 11. You've had their Pumpkin Down Scottish Ale, which was episode 38. And then just recently, a couple weeks ago, you had the Big Eye IPA during episode 40. So this is my first Ballast Point. Before I get into my personal opinion of it, let's talk a little bit about the Victory at Sea Porter. It's a big porter crafted to weather any storm. Our Ballast Point Victory at Sea Imperial Porter is a bold, smooth brew with just the right amount of sweetness. We infuse this robust porter with vanilla and San Diego's own Cafe Calabria coffee beans. I don't know if I said that correctly or not. The subtle roasted notes and minimal acidity of the cold brewed coffee balances perfectly with the sweet caramel undertones of the malt, creating a winning combination for your palate. Food pairings are pulled pork sandwich, chicken mole, German chocolate cake, and it is 10% by volume, like I said, so you could definitely, it's a typical kind of like imperial when it comes to the alcohol content, and you can taste that in the beer that it's a strong beer. So my first couple sips, and I haven't really had dinner yet, so again, it kind of took me back a little bit. But it doesn't pour very thick. It's a little bit thinner, although it's black. It's a little bit thinner of a beer than I usually drink, so not quite as malty is what I usually drink. You can taste the coffee and the vanilla notes in it. And it's a good, solid imperial porter, that's for sure. A little bit hoppier than I normally drink. Even in a porter, 60 IBUs is pretty strong. But it's a recommended beer. I do like it. It's one that I'd drink again if I had the opportunity to, although this was part of a build-your-own six-pack, so I just have one. It's certainly one that I might grab again in the future because, if you're looking for just a nice imperial with some nice coffee and vanilla notes, this is definitely a good one from a good brewery.
Well, I think at 60, that is pretty high because the Great Lakes Commodore Perry that I've had a couple times now on the show, it was rated at 70. So yeah. That's pretty high.
Yeah. So
that's
it can, you can taste the hops to it. It has a little bit of kind of, it has a little bit of a sweetness, which is almost like a citrusy type of taste to it, maybe a little bit. You know, that's definitely overwhelmed by the taste of the coffee and the vanilla. So it's solid recommended beer.
All righty, cool.
What are you drinking over there?
This week I'm going back to my friends at Mustang Sally, which is a Northern Virginia brewery. And I had one of their IPAs a couple weeks back. But this time I've got a Marbury American Wheat Ale, which again is Mustang Sally here out of Northern Virginia. And it says about the name, Marbury American Wheat is named for John Marshall. John Marshall was the fourth and longest serving Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the U.S., among his other contributions. Soon after Marshall took office, the Marshall Court issued its highly controversial opinion in Marbury versus Madison. Through Marbury, the Marshall Court established the judicial branch as a co-equal branch of the government, standing that it failed to achieve up to that point in our history. Marshall additionally changed the Supreme Court's procedure so that the court issues a single opinion that established clearer precedent rather than its prior practice of each judge issuing an individual opinion causing a splintered and unclear rule of law. Thank you, John Marshall. I don't know that anybody really cares about that, but it is where they got the name. And it looks like it has a little, almost like a court there on the bottle. And I'm showing this to you, hoping you'll not say that I've already had this before that it looked familiar.
Nope, that's new.
All right, good. Well, the alcohol by volume is low at 5.5%. So half of what yours is. The IBUs are 15. And the short description says it's crisp and refreshing with subtle honey notes.
What honey?
A clear, crisp wheat beer with subtle honey notes Virginia honey. Refreshing, drinkable, and smooth. I've had a little bit of a sip, but I'm going to go ahead and taste it. And actually, just from the two sips that I've had already, I have kind of a, a honey taste in my mouth.
What's funny to me is just like I get the story behind it, which is very cool. And I'm kind of a history buff in certain ways. So it's really funny, but
it's wordy.
Who the fuck cares about Marbury versus Madison? I just,
It's that's
funny.
All right.
It's funny. It's a good story to have attached to a beer, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess being here in Northern Virginia, they've got a little bit of a background to it. This area is full of history. We're probably 15, 30 miles, depending on where your pinpoint is outside of D.C. So there's a lot that's going on here. There's a John Marshall Highway that's around this area as well. So I guess it's a pretty popular name. Back to the beer, though, it is fairly light in color. If you look at it, it almost looks like it's a glass of honey. And I do taste the honey in it. And I think it's pretty much exactly what it says, refreshing, drinkable, and smooth. And I get that. The 15 IBUs is very low. So I think if you're looking for something, it's probably more of a, I guess, more of a summery type drink that you can drink without having to worry about feeling bad. This is it. I like it.
Good. Looking at some of the other beers too, I mean, they have the Article 1 Amber Lager, which is named for George Mason. So, I mean, you know, they have some cool history. And like you said, I mean, their ties to Northern Virginia, it makes sense.
Yeah. The last one I had was the So Little Time IPA, which was 6.5% and 75 IBUs. So it was good. I liked it. I think I still have another one or two in the refrigerator because I think I posted a picture of it on Instagram just the other day.
Yes. Kelly, just so you know, Kelly's soft parade. I couldn't go an episode of that. It did make it into my beer fridge. She goes, can you put this? Do you have room for it? So
no.
There's one soft parade in my beer fridge. The rest, but I mean, I don't have a very big fridge. I have to upgrade my beer fridge, but I tend to just put one or two of each beer that I have in there, and then I store the other ones there's a cabinet that the fridge is sitting on that closes shut, and it's dark in there, so I tend to keep my extra beer down there, and if I drink one and want it, and I kind of backfill it then with the other beer, so you know. But she has one in there.
Now, this is an old refrigerator. We got a new one, and we just put the old one outside because we realized either hauling it away or selling it to somebody, and we used the extra freezer, and then we used the refrigerator part for like a party the other day. We stuffed a bunch of Gatorade and water bottles and things. So it's been really handy. It's in the garage, so when it's cold outside, you got to keep it warm somehow. So that's a little bit of a trick to it. But otherwise, yeah. It's been really handy to have the extra space. And it's full of beer even beside the picture that I posted.
Yeah, the problem with my fridge is I had it last year. I left it out in the garage over the winter. And it just gets cold up here sometimes. Yeah. And I had a mess to clean up because, you know, one of the beers shattered and stuff like that. So I decided I kept it out there for the summer. And then just recently, within the last couple of weeks, I moved it down into the basement here. It's more convenient for me because I can get to it in case of emergency while we're recording podcast. You know, it's temperature controlled down here, too. So I figured it'd probably be less expensive to run it during the summer because it won't be as hot and humid.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. Anyway, this is a best of episode, so why don't we get right into it?
The first clip we have here is from TTB033, which was titled Socks at the Beach. And if you remember back to this one, we had an idea that we would discuss the various ways that we judge people. So we each came up with our lists separate and then kind of brought them to the table and went through them one by one.
Yeah, and I enjoyed this episode. I think it was one of those moments where we kind of just stepped away from the crazy news and some of the stuff we found online and just kind of had a fun conversation about just the stuff that we do that just makes us cringe and what we think of people that do those things. So it was a good clip, and I'm glad that we can share it again.
Me too. Here you go. Well, speaking of things we hate, one of the things we wanted to talk about at some time, and I think it came up just kind of in conversation, talking about things that we have seen and I called it judging, and you were a little bit unsure exactly what judging was. And I didn't really mean it as, I guess, anything that was vindictive or mean towards anybody or mean spirited, I guess. But there are a couple of things that I've seen over the course of either social media or out there. I saw somebody at a Nationals game that had it made me think about this. So I've come up with a list of things that I judge, and I know you have recently come up with a list as well. So I figured we'd talk about those.
All right, let's do it. Let's make some enemies today.
It might even be between the two of us, I think, depending on what happens. But and we haven't shared these, so these are kind of new, I guess, to each of us. So I'm curious. I'm curious and anxious at the same time.
All right. Well, how about you go first? Because you have possibly more than I do, and you know this was your idea, so I'm going to let you lead off on this one.
It was, and I've had longer to think about it. But one of them, and you actually touched on it last week, and I don't remember exactly what they were, but you said reef sandals. So my first thing, and I saw it, and it came up to me in a picture you posted on Facebook of you and Harrison outside shooting arrows, and you were wearing flip-flops. I don't think guys should not be wearing flip-flops. And then you said last week you wear the reef sandals. Uh-huh. Guys' feet need to be covered, Rob.
What?
And I know you were in your own house and your own yard, and you're comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. If you're down at the beach or down at the pool, you're going to wear socks and shoes?
Well, I mean, you can wear slides or whatever they are. But yeah, socks. You need to cover the toes up until you're ready to go in the water.
You wear socks to the beach.
Well, one, I don't go to the beach, Rob. There's too much sand.
It's the middle of summer.
Sand. I know, but then you get sand everywhere. On your toes. It's on your leg. It sticks to everything. Gets in the bag. It's forever in your ear.
Whatever, asshole.
Flip-flops, number one. At the top of the list, I should have gone backwards.
So my first pick is people from Virginia. No, I'm just...
Asshole's name Robert, not name Phillips.
No, so a lot of mine have to do with the road because I just spend so much time on it. And so I've developed a lot of prejudices to people that are driving. So mine is, and if I'm driving down the road and I need to get somewhere quickly, people I will avoid because I think that automatically, even if they're not driving slow at the time, they will drive slow enough to piss me off. People with AAA stickers on the back of their bumpers. But not only AAA, but if they have the family stick figure decals, or they have pictures or words mentioning domesticated animals.
Now, like, you know, I love my cat. My cat's smarter than your first grader.
I'd say the AAA sticker is probably the worst out of all of them. I'd say on average that slows your car down probably about 15 miles per hour below average. And the family stick figures, domesticated animals, range from 5 to 10 miles slower than you would normally drive once you place those decals or stickers on the back of your car.
Now, around here, a lot of those stickers can be seen on large SUVs that tend to drive faster than everybody else. But usually the cars around here that drive slower that fit your mold would be the Corollas or Pennsylvania tags. And I know you talked about Ohio before, but around here, the Pennsylvania tag is usually going to be a little bit slower than everybody else. And if it's a Corolla, you know, a Toyota, a Japanese product, like you always like to say, with Pennsylvania tags, you use the median, use the shoulder, whatever, you got to get around them.
See, here too, if they're driving a Hyundai in the left lane, they're probably going super slow, and they will not move out of your way if you're driving up on their rear because they're going slow in the left lane.
Hyundai's right. Yeah, see, that must be a regional thing. Around here, the Hyundais are fast.
No, we have slow Hyundais here in Michigan. Really, if you're not driving an American car, you're a piece of shit, and you live in Southeast Michigan. That's not even like a prejudice or anything like that. That's just fact. We're not listen, in Detroit, we're not at all passionate about our cars.
I don't get that. Number two for me.
I didn't even have numbers on mine. Go ahead.
Well, mine are bulleted. I don't have numbers, around. But I can count. I don't have 10 bullets. Fingers. I got less than 10.
Chicken scratch.
Jeans without a belt. People wearing jeans without a belt, so, particularly guys, although I've seen women walk around with jeans without a belt. You got to have a belt.
So what do you think of those people when they're doing that? I mean,
I don't know. I just look at them and go, where's your fucking belt? You got to have a belt on. Your pants are going to fall down. Mine fall down with a belt. So unless I put it too tight to cut off my circulation.
Oh, that's funny.
Got to have a belt.
I would agree with that.
And I get I get terrified that I'm going to go to work and, you know, I'm wearing khakis or whatever it is. And I'm terrified that I'm going to go without a belt. My pants will be down and I'll know it. But two, I just for some reason, I just have this fear, a phobia that I'm going to go to work I've gone to the grocery store without a belt and I always got to hold my pants up. But going to work without a belt.
One time I went to work without a belt on accident, and I felt like it would be the worst day of my life if I let that continue on. So I actually left work, went to the store and bought a belt so I could wear it that day. It was driving me crazy. All right. So I would go along with that. My next one is anybody at Walmart. That's it. That's the only qualifier there.
All you got to do is say Walmart.
They're at Walmart.
We go to Walmart a lot just because around here, it's really, especially for groceries and actually everything. Melissa's a big Walmart place. I like it because, stuff's cheap. So I'll go in there. I'll call it the house of the great unwashed.
I call it the asshole of America. No way. That's
now, where do you go up there? Ohio, you go to Target? I guess you're close to Minnesota, so Target's the big thing up there.
Target, everything's big here. I mean, we have Walmart, we have Target, we have Meijer is kind of the biggest thing over here, I would say. Mm-hmm. Which is regional, but they're big stores that have lots of stuff, and we tend to go there because they're a Michigan-based company, so we feel good about shopping there versus going to Walmart and things like that. Yeah. Where they, you know, so we go to Walmart. That's kind of our jam over here. And then we just have just a million other stores. We have your usual, retail, like your Kohl's and your JCPenney's and your Sears and, you know, and then all the fancy places that I don't shop because the shit's too expensive. So,
well, that's the thing about Walmart too. And I think you can go and you can buy your groceries, but you can also buy a lamp and a rug at the same time. So it's fine.
You can buy some wife beaters because most of the people there are wearing them anyway.
Oh, so that's your second one then? You ready? Number three.
Okay, so, well, the last one was kind of mine already, so it's kind of your turn. But while we're talking about it, yes, wife beaters. Okay. I do judge people who wear wife beaters on public. Because, I mean, come on now.
Yeah. That, if you're wearing that, it goes under your shirt.
Now, wife beater with sandals.
With socks. And no belt. In Walmart. With
socks. Also, Crocs with socks. I'd say that's probably the worst.
Yeah. That's true. Especially if you got the little bangles on them, the little decorations.
Yeah, I don't have those. I do have some Crocs. They sit in they're holding up the shelf in the stairway.
Now, this one here, I've seen a lot of people that have had this on their Facebook profiles, and I'm going to say it, but then I'm going to qualify it a little bit. But people that drive pickup trucks.
Oh, you now, you're really just out to offend me tonight, you son of a bitch. No, go ahead.
Now your type of pickup truck is fine. It's the older pickup truck, you know, the old F-150s and the old Silverados that are all kind of beat up. You know, that's usually the uneducated. But you've got the nicer trucks like yours and that kind of thing's a little bit different. That I can get by. Because it's a little bit nicer, but the older kind of beat up ones with the, you know, the Trump stickers on the back, that kind of thing.
All right. Well, I'll let that one slide.
So it's not quite the flip flops offensive to you, I know, but it was close. And I almost didn't put it on here because I figured it was probably close to the line. But
well, I did mention people who drive foreign cars. So, yeah. I mean, I kind of shot at you already.
Well, that's all right. Mine runs on batteries, so I don't really care.
What?
I drive a hybrid, Rob.
Oh, I didn't know you drove a hybrid.
Yeah, I got a Prius up there.
Oh, geez.
Is that on your list?
No,
I figured it would be.
No, I
should have waited.
I knew you drove a Japanese car, but I didn't know you drove a Prius.
I got it because from where I live to where I work, I get to take HOV. So it saves me. It saves me a lot of time. Now, would I go out and buy it just to be a tree hugger? No. But when I got this job and I knew how far I was going to be driving and I knew the amount of time I could save, it probably half an hour off the day at least.
All right.
Each way.
See, I might look at a hybrid if that were the case for me. We don't have those fancy lanes here in Michigan. We just have a fucking just drive where you're going lane, which is the same as all the other ones on the road. So for me, it that doesn't have as much value in it. Plus just the fact that, again, we tend to judge people who drive foreign cars here in Michigan. Okay. So, cause for a minute, I thought when you said Prius, the first thing I thought about was that South Park episode where everybody was moving to California, was buying Priuses and moving to California.
No, threw you that bone because of the pickup truck.
We just care about the environment more than most other people do. So it's driver Prius.
Now it's nice getting 45 miles to the gallon when Melissa's car gets, you know, less than 20, a lot like yours. And that's kind of nice, but you can't take everybody and go somewhere like to the beach. It's just not comfortable for that long of a drive. Yeah. It's a great around like going to the grocery store and using it to drive in the HOV lanes to work. If the HOV lane restriction thing is lifted, I'll probably get something else.
I like to be able to hit the gas and just feel your back just press into the seat.
It's not quite that, but it goes. The electric motor has a lot of torque to it, so it moves. It's surprisingly how much it moves. But
well, I mean, and, you look at Teslas, and they're instant torque. I mean, those things are fast.
Tesla fast.
You should get a Tesla.
I would love to
get a Tesla.
The kids would destroy it though.
I will tell Melissa.
I've told her, and I even thought about it because the Model 3 or whatever it is came out was $30,000, and I thought I might be able to figure that out. But then I realized I got a bunch of baseball stuff in the back, and the kids getting in and out of it they would destroy it pretty quickly. So I wouldn't want to get myself a nice car only to be disappointed later.
Well, that's true.
All right. So I threw you that, just so you know, I threw you that Prius bone since you seemed upset about the pickup truck. So I'll let you go next.
No, you qualified it. If you had just say everybody that drives a pickup truck's an asshole, you know, that'd be one thing. But I have I love my, don't fuck with my pickup truck. I love it. I judge people, and this is a funny thing, and it drives, and my beloved wife is part of this group, so I have to be careful with this, but people, people with newer cars that obviously have Bluetooth in them, yet they're still using their phone directly when they're driving in it.
Now, are they holding it in their hand doing
They're holding it in their hand. They're doing, well, they're either doing speakerphone, obviously, or they have it pressed against their ear. And it's just like a brand new 2017 something that, you know, like all the cars they make now pretty much have Bluetooth built into them. So,
yeah,
like just hook it up. It takes like 30 seconds. And it's, your life is so much easier by not having to hold your phone while you're driving.
Now, does she have anybody that could hook it up for her to make sure it works? Or
yeah, I've offered a million times, Robert. Okay. She doesn't want me to do it.
Making sure you're doing what you're supposed to.
Of course she does.
Maybe that's the explanation that she can't do it because she doesn't know how. And
yeah, that's it.
The time to show her. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you're driving around in your fancy pickup truck with your flip flops.
You bastard.
Are you done with yours?
You're saying you don't own flip-flops.
I have had them only because when we've gone to the beach, Melissa made me buy them. They're uncomfortable as hell with that little thing in between your toe, and I always feel like I'm going to fall. So the last ones that I got when those broke at the beach, I got the ones that you just put your whole foot in. And I wear those with socks when I take the dog out for a walk in the morning before I'm barely even awake.
See, for me, like, I get that, you know, I think feet are ugly to begin with for the most part. Yeah. But if it's like 80 something, 90 degrees outside, shoes and socks are so uncomfortable for me. And your feet can breathe so much better when they're not covered. I feel like guys sweat and feet sweat. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it compounds it when you're out there in the heat wearing shoes and socks. You're a monster is the problem.
Now, do you take your shoes off when you come inside the house or you still wear them? Kind of have this rule around here. You take them off.
Oh, no, we take them off here.
Okay.
Kelly,
line them up at the front door. Like
Kelly will womp your ass if she sees you hanging out with shoes on in the house.
With her Dick Yada, she's going to hit you.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy wearing shoes inside my house.
All right. Whose turn is it?
I don't even know.
I did the pickup truck. So then you did the, what'd you do? What was the last one you did? Where's your list?
Oh, the people that with the cars with the Bluetooth.
Okay. All right. Mine, adjustable hats, wearing baseball caps that have either the little click thing on the back or the Velcro. Uh-huh. And they usually have a little logo. You got to get the ones like I wear the large, extra large, the stretchy ones, or you find the ones that say 8 7/8 and you wear those. With a thing wraps all the way around the back. You can't wear an adjustable hat. It's got to be fitted.
What?
Or stretchy.
What's the problem?
Where's your Tiger's hat? Does it have the little adjustable thing on it?
I can't find
one your size.
Listen, I have several Tiger's hats, both that are fitted and not fitted, with that are adjustable.
No. It's got to fit right on your head. It can't be adjustable. That's the free stuff they give away at the park. Gotta wear a nice hat. You want your shirt back?
No, I can't stay mad at you, Robert. So my last one. I have a couple. One was like, you know, old people, but like
old people. Where is she, by the way?
They're slow.
What, honey?
Yeah, elderly listener. No, I feel she's not feeling well tonight. We'll
be nice.
She's not feeling.
By the time this comes out, she'll be feeling better. So.
She's not feeling well, and she needs to feel better so she can watch my kids tomorrow while Kelly is at her dick party. So that way I can take my dad to go see It. So it's coming out. It came out today. The movie It, Stephen King's It, is out today. And I bought a ticket for myself and my dad, and you know, he's a big horror movie fan, and so I'm taking him to see it tomorrow. He'll probably pay for dinner. I'll still come out ahead. So my last one is people with blacked out windows on their cars.
Completely blacked out or just because yours got to be tinted something.
Mine are just tinted to whatever came out of the factory. And some tint on windows is fine, especially, you know, the back windows where the kids sit. And I put stuff in my car and I don't necessarily want to be driving around in a fishbowl or have it sitting in a parking lot where it's very obvious what's inside. So right. I have no problem with some tint. I'm talking about the people that put tint all up the back, the sides, and even on the windshield, like limousine. Like limousine grade tint. So that way, I don't even know how they see, But yeah. I always just assume they're riding dirty.
Now, do you have tint laws up there?
We do. It doesn't mean that everybody follows them.
Right.
In fact, this was a long time ago. My brother-in-law, my older brother-in-law, not the one that's getting married. I remember rolling. We were driving somewhere in his car, and he had just these ridiculously tinted windows. And we stopped at a light, and it's the middle of winter in Michigan, so it's probably 30-something degrees, 20-something degrees out. And all of a sudden, he rolls all the windows down while we're stopped at this light. I said, "What the hell are you doing?" And he goes, "There's a police officer next to me." I'm like, and he didn't want him to see the tint. I'm like, are you not drawing any attention to yourself by having all the windows down while it's there's like snow on the ground?
Just say it got hot.
So that's all the ways I judge people. No other ways.
Well, my last three, and I yes, I do have three.
Sorry.
They're all kind of food related. And one we talked about a couple weeks ago was sun chips. People sitting and eating sun chips.
We can't do it. This is the last episode. We made it 33 episodes, you know, pretty good. We had a good run.
Thank you for being.
Don't you dare bring the Golden Girls into this. Travel down the
road and back again. All right. So the sun chips. The other one is people, do you have any, you know, rebuttal to that or anything similar to that that you want to say before I go to my next one?
People who eat Funyuns.
If they've got to have stinky breath.
Yeah.
They're good. I like Funyuns, but they've got to have stinky breath.
Yeah, so go ahead with your little sunship thing.
Now, this one I asked you about because you were looking for examples of what would go on this list. And I asked you if you were a Coke or a Pepsi drinker.
Uh-huh.
And you have to drink Coke, but Pepsi people usually have the pinker neck and they're driving the old beat up pickup trucks that I mentioned a little while ago. So Coke, or if you're drinking Mountain Dew, that's worse than drinking Pepsi. I figure you gotta have your sugar, your blood sugar level has got to be through the roof drinking.
See, I always feel like Pepsi because Pepsi, I mean, 99% of the pop I drink is Diet Dr. Pepper, which is a Coke product. It doesn't matter to me. If I'm out, we're at a restaurant and I order, if I want a soda, like I don't care really all that much if it's Coke or Pepsi. I'll just say I'll have a diet. And if it's a diet Coke, great. If it's a diet Pepsi, great. I don't really care. But if I really, really have a choice, I usually choose Pepsi. And I feel like Pepsi is almost like I feel there's more exclusivity to Pepsi because it is a smaller of the two brands.
Sure.
So I don't know. Like I feel to me like it's a little bit better.
Now, how's your feeling on Mountain Dew, though? You drink that?
I hate Mountain Dew.
Okay. And do you look at people? Usually that's the guy that's got the pack of cigarettes in his sleeve. He's drinking Mountain Dew for breakfast, eating.
Or I feel like it's just like some kid who is using it, just drinking Mountain Dew until he has time to, you know, to shoot heroin later or something like that.
Well, I was somewhere and I saw the kids coming up and I think we were at when you were at the beach, we were at a little local beach that's not too far from here. It's about an hour away and they had one of the food trucks out there and I got some fried Oreos and then there was a couple and their kids came up and the dad who was shouldn't have been drinking this stuff, but he ordered a Mountain Dew and it's like probably 11 o'clock in the morning and the kids are like, we want Mountain Dews too.
Oh man.
And they're probably 10 and 7.
Like, oh, they're terrible parents.
Yeah. Things. He had flip-flops on. He had jeans without a belt. He had a pickup truck, and he was wearing an adjustable hat eating sun chips.
Was he wearing a belt, and did he have a wife beater?
All that. Yeah, he did have a wife beater on.
Oh,
and shit. It wasn't the white one. It was like a blue one, so it was like his good one. It was his wearing out, the white.
It was we're going to church wife beater.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't even the white one with, like, you know, the ribs.
My son is best.
Yeah, exactly. So he was big. His belly was hanging out under his wife beater, and he had his flip flops on. So,
oh yeah, I just
they were drinking Mountain Dew, for breakfast. The other one is I saw it earlier this week, and I said, you know what? I forgot about that. But people that say the word sandwich or Sammy, it's a sandwich.
I know it's a sandwich. It's not a sandwich. Who says that?
Oh well, good. I don't want you to be upset at me. So I thought. Finally, one you don't do.
Yeah, no, at least there's one of these things that I'm not a part of.
Finally, one you don't do.
Oh, good. Not everything I do repulses you.
Now, for those, the other thing is, too, for those that are kind of coming in at
people
this
would
point.
Say caramel.
We had people would say caramel. Rob and I have never met. We've never been in the same room. We've never been in the same. We have been in the same state, probably, but maybe not at the same time. So these things are, you know, not like we've hung out and been able to discuss these things. These are pretty new.
We're still
friends.
We're still discovering each other at this point.
We haven't made it to second base yet. I feel this is probably first base. We're learning a lot today.
We're really uncovering a lot of the things that you hate about me. And that's good. You know what I don't like? People who try to pass bratwurst off by using smoked sausage that's already been cooked.
I have to eat those, by the way, but I think they're still good for another 3 months. So there's no hurry.
They're not bad, but I mean, they're not nearly as good as the bratwurst.
It had cheese in it. It's fine.
It's better with cheese, but you can't pass a pre-cooked smoked sausage off as a bratwurst. It just doesn't
work. It was sausage with cheese in it. Who could turn that down?
I didn't say you had to turn it down, Robert. I'm just saying it's not as good.
Well, you're judging me. I don't like you judging
Stop
me for that.
Stop arguing with me in front of the listeners.
Well, is that your list? Are you done?
Yeah, that's all I got for tonight. So our next clip here is from TTB039. Cheetos are not chips, which I still stand by. And in this one, we talked about, you know, we always had the argument, are the two Bobs assholes? And I think both of us would agree that in certain aspects, we kind of are. But we really wanted to just get an official decision and take to the internet. And that's exactly what we did here.
Yes, we did. We took a online quiz that basically walked us through various questions about certain situations that we might be presented with. And we were able to answer those honestly and get some feedback from, I think it was BuzzFeed, to see whether we really are assholes or not.
And you actually might be kind of surprised by the results. So enjoy the clip. What's next on the docket tonight?
Well, I think one of the things too, and it kind of goes along with what we were just talking about, but I think a lot of times we pride ourselves in our personality and our ability to, I guess, make things funny, make things uncomfortable, make things inappropriate.
I go out of my way to do that.
Yeah, I think that's what makes us who we are. And sometimes you love it, sometimes you hate it. I know a lot of times people will, usually at the company Christmas party, people that have not met Melissa before, or if they have, they still come up and tell her, I don't know how you do it. So I think a way that you could describe such a person would be
an asshole, a douchebag.
Now, there's a whole laundry list.
Yeah.
Would you call yourself an asshole? Do you consider it like a term of endearment or kind of like a badge, or is it something that's offensive? Because I know some people like hate the middle finger, or they hate things like it's just so offensive to them. What do you think about the word asshole? If somebody were to call you that.
I mean, first off, people have called me that before, and I'm not the type of person who's going to get offended at somebody calling me an asshole. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, it to me, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think what you're really is just saying that you're okay with pushing people's buttons, and you're okay with not always being on everybody's good side, and you're okay with not being everybody's best friend. So like, if I guess some people would maybe consider me an asshole just because at the end of the day, and we've talked about this before, there's a group of people. And it's not a very large group of people that are in my life, and it's made up of a family, it's made up of close friends whose opinions of me I really do care about and want to stay in their good graces. Everybody else though in the world, I don't really care. Like, and I'm not saying I'm insensitive to people's thoughts, but I just don't. There's a limit there. Yeah, there's really just a limit to how much I care about what other people in the world think about me. Who, you know, so that's, you know, like me, don't like me, I don't care all that much either way.
Yeah, yeah. There's something to be said for that, because there are so many opinions of everybody. You're never going to please everybody, and some people go out of their way to do it. Neither of us is like that. But Merriam-Webster defines an asshole as a stupid, annoying, or detestable person.
Well, that's unfair. Also, Merriam-Webster also defines an asshole as the least attractive or desirable part or area, using phrases like asshole of the world. It's also an anus.
As well, yeah, that's definitely true. You stink. So I thought what might be fun, and we can see how this is going to work out, but BuzzFeed has a test on their website that says how much of an asshole are you? So I thought it might be fun, and you've got the link there. I thought it might be fun to go through the questions here, take the test, and see how we rate.
I think it'll only be fair. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to just go through the questions, both of us at the same time, and then talk about how we're going to answer it for ourselves?
That'll work. And that way we have the results kind of at the same time, and we can compare.
Perfect. So the first...
Are we taking any wagers, though? Who's higher? Do we want to just...
I think I'm going to be the bigger asshole, right?
Like, you know? Okay. I would say so.
Well, thank you, Robert. I really appreciate it. Maybe I won't.
That then. Makes me the bigger maybe asshole.
I won't then. So, all right. So,
is there a question on here about that?
I don't know. We'll find out soon enough. Fun. All right. So the first question on here says, you cancel plans you had with a friend. Whose responsibility is it to make new plans? And the choices are no one's. Plans will happen when they happen. Mine, if I'm the one who cancels plans, I should be the one to make new ones. And theirs, they wanted to hang out in the first place.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Me personally, I'm very much, and I wouldn't say this makes me an asshole or not, but I'm very much a kind of just like, let things just kind of happen. I don't really like if plans are going to happen, they're going to happen. And like, I don't think it's necessarily my responsibility or their responsibility. It's, we couldn't make it happen tonight because one of us has something coming up, and we'll eventually together figure it again. Out. So I'm kind of on the no one's plans will happen when they happen. Train.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think sometimes I would push it to where I'll figure out a time, but in a way that's almost the plans will happen. I don't know unless there's anything specific that I would just go out of my way to make something up so that we had plans again. But yeah, if something else comes up that we can do it together, then great.
Well, now let me ask you. Now this is a little bit of a tangent as we do in the two Bobs.
Yeah.
If you have to cancel plans, how straightforward are you with what you tell that person? Like, for instance, like when you cancel the plan, I'll answer the question first. So if I cancel plans with somebody, I'm always like, or if somebody wants to make plans with me and I just either can't make it or don't feel like it, I just tell them. I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's not going to work out that night. You know, thanks anyway. We'll figure something out a later time. Like,
Kelly had something that I forgot about, so I can't record tonight, that kind of thing.
I know people who will be like, well, just tell them this or just tell them that. Or I'm like, no. No. It's not going to happen. Sorry. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't make something up because you then kind of almost have to continue that. And if it's a person that you have any sort of relationship with them, you don't want to lie and go, oh, well, you know, I got to go have a root canal today. No, you don't. You know, I don't know whether you tell them, I just don't feel like it. It kind of really depends on their feelings, but no, I would be as honest as I could. Something came up, or now's not a good time, something like that. But I'm not going to make something up just to get out of it, unless it's really bad and it's somebody that at the end of the day I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, good. I like you more now.
We're only through one question.
All right.
You go to the bathroom only to see this. What do you do? And this kind of comes up from one thing that we talked about last week, but it's a roll of toilet paper on the roll and. There's very little bit of it left. Just you see mostly cardboard, I guess. So the answers are replace it immediately. I wouldn't wish this hell on anyone. Leave it be. I bought the last roll, not my responsibility. And do nothing and spend the rest of the day brooding in silent contempt for your roommate.
Well, my roommate would be my wife in this particular situation. I don't know. What would you do?
Especially if I had to use it, I would obviously replace it. But if I just kind of see it and I know somebody else didn't change it, which sometimes does happen, but I'll tend to leave those and let them take care of it.
I'm not going to lie. I would leave it be, you know, again, I wouldn't spend the rest of the day brooding in silent contempt for that person, whether it be, you know, a coworker, Kelly, and anybody else. But usually I'll just, I'm going to leave it be because it goes back to my whole thing of if you use the rest of something, then you should replace it. So it's kind of me in my sadistic way, just kind of like, hey, that'll serve as a reminder for them to replace it next time.
Yeah, it's some, yeah, because the thing is, I think sometimes you leave it there because you're in a hurry or you've got other things to do or, you know, fuck it, somebody else will just take care of it. But at the end of the day, if you replace it, then it kind of encourages that behavior. Whereas if you just leave it for them to do it. The other thing is using that bio bidet in there. I don't use very much toilet paper, if at all. So
yeah,
I don't need to change
it. It's not my department.
No.
All right. Next question here is, what best describes the way you ride an escalator? The answers are, I move to the right if I'm going to stand, and to the left if I'm going to walk. The other one says, I'll stand wherever I want. It's an escalator, not a chessboard. I tend to, so first off, if it's a regular escalator that goes, you know, either up to another level or down to another level.
Yeah.
Who's walking up and down those to begin with, and who's passing people on it first off? But like if it's one of those, like we have some malls in the area or the airports that have the walking escalators that are just flat, that are just
the walkway
to get you from point A to point B quicker. Those ones, I'm telling you, I do tend to follow the rules on that one. So I stick to the right if I'm with the kids, or if we're walking, I go to the left. And I tend to get I tend to get irritated when there's people standing on the left side who aren't walking and I'm trying to walk.
Yeah.
I usually give them like, excuse me, like, you know, that type of thing. But, so I tend to follow the rules with that one. I move to the right, if I'm going to stand, left, I'm going to walk. How about you?
Yeah, same thing. I think in most like shopping areas around here, the malls, they don't really have a lot of people that try to walk up and down the escalators. They just ride it. But when you go to with the metro stations or any of those type of places, the public transportation, the train station, metro, subway type things, then you definitely see a lot more, particularly at commuter times. You see a lot more people walking up and down the escalators to either get out of there or try to catch the train. Because a lot of times when you miss it, it could be 10, 15 minutes before the next one comes. So for me specifically, I do move to the right if I'm going to stand and left if I'm going to walk. So I follow the rules on that one.
Nice.
How close do you stand to the person in front of you when you're in line? One, right behind them, whatever gets me closer to the front. Two, about 3 feet away. Or number three, about 10 feet away. I like to give people their space. I'm not going to stand right up against them, because if you're standing in line, who cares how close you are to the front? You still have to wait. 10 feet's a little bit much, because then people walk in front of you and nobody's quite sure where you're standing. So I think 3 feet away is good.
I'm going to go with 3 feet away as well. I mean, I think it's a dick move to stand 10 feet away, because, you know, obviously there's like a lineup of people. And if the guy in front of me has 10 feet between him and the person, I'm like, dudes, scoot the fuck up. Like, you know, I got some impulse buys to make. Like I tend to not be right on top of the person, because that's just a real dick move. I'm an asshole, but I'm not a dick. And 10 feet is just ridiculous. So 3 feet's a good, nice happy medium, not right on top of the person.
Okay.
But, not, you know, just being ridiculous. When do you use turn signals on your car? The answers are, when I need to, when there's a line of cars in front of me or behind me, not too often. People can tell where I'm headed, and pretty much all the time. Now, for me,
that's a tough one.
I tend to always use my turn signal. Even in parking lots, I'll use my turn signal, just because it pisses me off when people don't use their turn signal. So I would say pretty much all the time I use my turn signal.
Well, what if there's no cars around? You're just doing it out of habit, or you're...
Yeah, I think it's more out of habit than anything else. Like, I don't consciously use my turn signal. I just kind of do it. I don't think about it. But I would say even when there's nobody in front of me or behind me, I still tend to use it.
I'll pick the first option when I need to. When there's a line of cars in front or behind, it doesn't even have to be a line. It just has to be people around me that could be affected by me changing lanes. And I'm a mirror watcher. So I know what's going on around me at all times. So I'm pretty confident that if I change lanes where I haven't seen anybody there, that nobody is there. Cause I watch it.
I had my driver's training instructor was a stickler about checking the mirrors too. He was a flamboyant old man. And I just remember him going, okay, we're scanning all the mirrors, scanning.
That's kind of what it's like. I don't know. I check all three. I got both sides and I got the rear view, and I just like to know, because you never know if somebody's coming up behind you, a motorcycle, or you got to be aware.
Or somebody's riding your ass, so you got to slam on your brakes, piss them off.
Yeah. What I like to do, and this is not really on here, but what I like to do is turn the windshield wipers on.
Oh,
not just the wipe. I do the washers.
Oh, that's 100% me. That's the most passive aggressive thing that I do, I think. It's just, oh, my windshield's dirty. Oh, it's that's a little bit better.
Over here.
Oh, damn it. Missed a spot. Better do it again. I'll watch them, because they'll turn their windshield wipers on then, because there's fluid all over it. And then as soon as they shut their windshield wipers back off, I hit it again. Oops, I got a little bit more. And I get and it's funny because, you know, Kelly will be in the car sometimes when I'm doing this, and I just get the eye rolls and the disapproving gestures, because I get a kick out, and I'm always chuckling to myself as I do it too. I think it's funny.
Yeah. Well, my car that I have now isn't that great. They don't really get there, but a car I had a while back was the best. I mean, you guarantee anytime you pump those things that they were getting a full Super Soaker back there behind them.
My truck was crazy with that too. I got a big old windshield on that. So you hit that and they're getting it.
The best. I love it. All right. You're sick on a work day. Do you go in? First option is absolutely, I've got work to do. The second option is no way, I can't risk coughing all over the place. The third option is I might go in for a little, but if it gets too bad, I'm out of there. And I'll say no way. We have a pretty good work from home policy, and I do work from home a couple days a week. I would stay home just to keep everybody else from getting sick. I don't want to spread the joy.
I go in. I'm not going
to
lie.
I've been like, I don't like to miss work. So I hate
missing work. And I don't have the ability, because I work. You know, a lot of what I do is face-to-face interactions with my clients in my office or in their office and things like that. So, like, I can't really effectively work from home like you can. Yeah. So, I mean, I've gone in. Usually, I go into work, and it's usually them telling me to leave. Like, we don't want you to get us sick. Get the fuck out of here, and then I'll leave. Like, it happened a couple weeks ago. I had vertigo, and granted, vertigo isn't something that is contagious, but at the same time, like, my head was spinning. I have a client that came in for an early morning appointment who's a physician. She's like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm great, my head's spinning. Other than that, we're all great. Your accounts are performing nicely, by the way. And she's just like, you need to go to a doctor. Like, you shouldn't have even gotten in your car and driven here. It's just what I do, though. So I go in. There's so much. I was off yesterday, and then today I come in and I just have twice as much work to do because of what I wasn't able to get done yesterday. So I go in.
Yeah, I think out of even going on vacation, I don't like it. Just it's so much work getting ready and preparing. I have stuff that has to be done while I'm gone, so I have to prepare a coverage document that lists everything that people don't deal with my stuff day in and day out.
Yeah.
And then when I get back, I got to go through, see what was done. And they always send me a note back. Hey, this was done. This was done. This wasn't, whatever it is, so that I can catch up. But then you've got hundreds of emails to go through to file and do whatever you need to do. It just takes a long time. And I don't like being sick. I always feel like I'm letting everybody down. They've got their own work to do. They don't need to have mine piled on top of it. So I do like that. Now, there have been times, I think 6 or 8 years ago, I got strep throat. So I missed those days because I just could not get out of bed. But everything else, pretty much, I'll just work. Just, I feel better, less stressful that way.
And I agree. But I go into work.
You're a male and enter. Well, let me make sure.
Oh, this is my turn. Oh, you did the last one.
Damn it, Roberts.
Don't fucking take my turns.
I was excited.
There's no numbers. I know it's thrown you off. There's no numbers. You are a male and enter a public bathroom to use the the urinal. There's an urinal in the public bathroom.
Pouring my next naughty neighbor too.
You are a male and enter the public bathroom to use a urinal. There is a row of urinals and one is taken. Where do you stand? As far away as I possibly can. I saddle up next to him. Time for a good old-fashioned urinal conversation. My favorite. Or wait for him to finish, silently watching from the sink. Me personally, I don't wait for him to finish and just stare at him, because that's just kind of fucking weird. And if you do that, and I'm the guy who's urinating, I'll probably finish up, shake it off, zip my pants up, and punch you. I think just out of consideration, I tend to go as far away as I possibly can, or not necessarily as far. So if they're all the way to the left, I'm not necessarily going to go all the way to the right, but I'm going to make sure there's at least a 1 to 2 urinal buffer when possible between me and the person next to me. Unless, again, if it's filled up, if we're at the baseball game, you do what you got to do once you get a pisser in front of you. But normally I use a buffer. So I guess for this, the closest answer to me would be as far away as I possibly can.
I wait for him to finish silently peeing in the sink.
Oh, you pee in the sink. You pee in the, if there's a laundry tub, you can do that as well.
I've heard about that. Oh, Jesus. No, as far away. Like you, I don't go all the way to the edge, but I'll come in. I'll make sure there's a couple in there.
Yeah,
in
I mean, between. You know, it might as well. I mean, it is awkward if you just... go right
to you don't know. It's a stranger. You've got 14 other places. You're going to stand right next to me.
Although I will say this. So let's say there's 3 urinals. 2 of the urinals are regular size urinals. The third one is a little person / child urinal.
Always use the short one because I feel like a giant.
Okay.
That's even at work. We've only got 2. We've got a regular one and a short one.
See this, but I'm taller than you, I think. So yeah, for me, if I go to use the short one, like
you're peeing on the handle.
I'm kind of peeing on the top of the toilet a little bit. So like for me, if that's the choice, so if there's somebody all the way to the right, there's a short one on the left, and there's a regular one in the middle, I might at that point, I might actually go to the one in the middle next to the other guy, simply because otherwise I'm like awkwardly squatting down trying to piss into the shorter urinal. And I make sure I moan too.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I feel so much better. Oh, yeah. It's been a tough day.
Oh, a little bit. If you shake more than 3 times. Oh, gosh. Here we go. A little bit more. Oh.
Nah, you don't shake. That's why you got underpants.
It'll you gotta shake a little bit. If you shake more than 3 times, though, it's masturbating.
Now you put your hands behind your head and then you shake, or you just go ahead?
No, I shake. I do the helicopter move. I put my hands behind my dick.
I don't know about that.
Hands like... behind my head and just do the helicopter dick just to. This is to get the last bit off. Sometimes it hits the person next to me. That's weird, but, you know, it's all right. I'll never see him again.
No, I do the I told you to clean your room shake.
Very angry. You got a very angry shake.
Yeah, but only 2 times, like you said. Yeah, and then I got my nodded neighbor here.
All right.
All right, what's the next one?
Next question.
I hate this, by the way. This riles me up.
What if you need chips and steak, though?
I don't see any Cheetos there. You're grocery shopping and deciding you don't need an item. What do you do with it? The first option is I put it back wherever. Someone will take care of it because that's their job.
True.
Second, bring it back to where I found it. Or I buy it anyway. I don't even remember what aisle I got it in.
I'm really curious as to what your answer is for this. Before I answer, you answer.
Right. Well, it depends. In most cases, I will put it back. If we're already at the register, I usually just tell whoever it is that's at the register, I got this. I don't need it. I'm sorry. But I don't, like in this picture here where it looks like some veal or some steak that's shoved in the chip bags. I don't do that because I've worked retail and I've had to do inventory and I've had to clean up after animals that do this kind of stuff, which might be you, but hopefully not. So now I put it back. I help them out. They get paid little enough. They don't need to clean up after me.
I put it back wherever. Support capitalism.
God they have damn
to,
it.
They have to pay people to put that back. If everybody put, listen to me. This is what I do. I'm American. If everybody put their shit back where it belonged, somebody would lose their job.
Because failing pile of garbage.
Because they wouldn't need it. Just like when I worked at the palace with, you know, Like
they would, they got a stock.
They
it
never
there
had in the arena. In they the never first had. Place. They never had trash cans in the arena. People would ask me all the time, like, "Where do I put this garbage?" I'm like, "On the floor," because we have people that we pay to clean that up. And if there wasn't shit everywhere at the end of every event, they wouldn't need these people to do that.
You're an asshole. But these same people that are cleaning up are the ones that are stocking the shelves to begin with, or they gotta throw this stuff away.
I will say that. I'll say this much.
You take it back.
Listen, no, I'm not gonna fucking take it back.
I'm never shopping at your grocery store.
That's fine. Kelly does the shopping. Listen, but I will say this: like, if it's a frozen item, I'm not going to just stick it on the shelf with the chips. If it's something that needs to be refrigerated, I'm going to make sure it may not end up exactly where it started, but it's going to end up in a refrigerated area. If it's frozen, it's going to be in a frozen area. If it's not, if it's just on a shelf somewhere, I can't tell you where it's going to end up at that point. By the way, Kelly just texted me. I know we had talked about this noise canceling fork a little bit, and I don't know if it was going to end up on a show or not. Kelly just posted it in the Two Bobs podcast community, though, which is kind of funny. Good. And she wrote, "Merry Christmas, Rob Phillips." I'm going to like it.
Some of the comments that I saw, and I don't remember if it was on that page or not, but it was people eating ramen generally don't have enough money to spend on $150 noise canceling slurp forks.
That's true.
Because they're eating $10 for a dollar ramen packs. They're not buying $150 forks.
Think about how many pairs of earplugs I could buy for Kelly the same price as that noise canceling fork that would probably, by the way, do a hell of a lot better job.
Yeah, probably.
All right, so
it'd be cool. I'd like to try it, but I don't know if I would spring $150 just to try it. And I don't slurp. I like the noodles, but I don't make that much noise.
Next question, so we can get through to find out who the bigger asshole is. It's probably going to be me. You're opening a bag of chips in a crowded, quiet place. What's your method? I slowly open the bag, trying not to make much noise. As fast as I can, it's like ripping off a Band-Aid, one and done. Or I save the chips for a less awkward room. First off,
there's no bad answer there.
There's no perfect answer either. First off, if I want the chips, I'm going to eat the fucking chips. I don't care who's in the room. Call me an asshole. That's fine. I tend to be just like, do it as fast as I can, because this is the thing. If you're that person who is slowly opening the bag, trying to make noise, first off, it is making noise. Everybody's hearing it and everybody's fucking annoyed, thinking, God, will that guy just finish opening his bag? So I open it as fast as I can, just be done. I don't care how loud it is. I just want it boom, done, open. I do it to try to be less of an annoyance for other people. So I think it makes me a good person to do it that way.
Nice try. But if you open it slow enough, it doesn't make any noise.
It's still that's makes what I choose. Noise. You can still hear the crunk.
You don't need to crush the bag.
You just still, Robert, I'm saying, no. You're in a quiet room, in a crowded, quiet space. Even if you're trying not to make noise, everybody can fucking hear you opening that bag.
Well, if you're in a...
Just
in a
be quiet, done with it.
If you're in a space that quiet, you shouldn't be eating the chips anyway, because then people are going to be pissed at all the crunching. And there's people around here that crunch with their mouth open that eat chips, and it drives
it's
me
It's not about eating the chips. It's about opening the bag.
I know. Maybe that's
Don't the make this question. Something it's not.
Well, I slowly open the bag, trying not to make
fucking
much noise.
Turn. You're annoying out the like shit it. Out of the entire room for 5 minutes while you try to open this bag. Then
no, I make no noise. That's the point.
You make noise. They can all hear it.
I don't like There's you. No the elevator door is open. I'm moving to the next one. The elevator door.
Punch you through this monitor.
Punch my screen. That'll make some noise, bitch. Oh, the elevator doors open and it's full of people. What do? You stand in front of the elevator to make sure I can get on. Push my way to the front. I'm making sure I get on this elevator. Or do you step aside and let those already inside off before getting on? So you stand in front so nobody can get on, just so you can. Push your way to the front, making sure I get on. Or two, you let people off first. Or number three, I guess.
Thanks for explaining that twice, because I didn't get it the first time. What's
I'm in my second Nickelback here.
What say you, Rob Ert?
I stand at the side.
Bob
and I
K
teach
stands,
the kids that too.
Bob K stands at the side.
Yeah. I stand to the side. I let people get off. And then there's more room for me, and I don't have to stand uncomfortably or squeeze past people. I like the line earlier. You give them space.
I am definitely the step to the side and let those that are already inside get off before getting on. Because, again, it's a real dick move to get on there. And if I'm the person on that elevator and you're stepping on before I get off, mm-hmm. I'm going to make it very well known that I need to get off that elevator.
I'm going to open my noisy ass bag of chips in your face.
Yeah, you're going to very slowly and agonously open as quietly as you can this bag of chips, even though everybody can fucking hear you open it and just wishes to, for the love of God, that you just finish opening this bag of chips. No, it's good.
It's not a balloon where you pull it and you go.
You'd probably do that, though.
Forever, it's air. It doesn't make any sound.
I don't
want
to pop the balloon. I don't want to startle anybody, so I'm going to take 10 minutes to let the air out of this.
When is it okay to use high beams in your car? When I'm the only person on the road. Whenever I want, whatever. If we weren't supposed to use them, we wouldn't have them. That's like saying it. If I, you know, if you have a gun, I can shoot anybody. If they didn't want me to have a gun, they wouldn't give me one. They didn't want me to shoot anybody. And the third option is, I don't know. I always forget to turn them off. I will say this is when I'm the only person on the road, or at least as long if there's people behind me, that's one thing. If I'm leading the way, I'll keep the brights on. But otherwise, I turn them off if there's another car coming the other way.
Yeah, I don't even lock them. I just hold them. And then as soon as I see another set of headlights coming up, I turn them off. Well, I let go.
We have some, I live in a very highly residential area. So like, and a lot of the roads, there's a lot of big trees. There's some wooded areas. So like for me, I don't necessarily hold them on. I'll lock them in. But if I see a headlights coming the other way, I shut it off. Like I'm not.
Yeah, just let go. Now, if we were two ladies answering this, we would answer, I don't know. I always forget to turn them off.
I would say
so. The fact that we're guys, we answer that correctly.
We'd say, "What are high beams?"
I don't know. I just push the stalk, and they wouldn't even call it a stalk. Who knows? I like this one. I don't know. Look at the picture a little bit, and I don't like this guy here. I'll tell you my story about this Neil Patrick Harris in a minute. As you go to a
who
party
doesn't
with
like Neil Patrick Harris?
I don't, and I'll explain to you why.
He's a magician and an actor.
And it's not that he prefers the comfort of other men, but it's you go to a party with friend A and run into friend B who has never met friend A. What do? Immediately start catching up with the friend I ran into. It's been so long. Immediately introduce both of my friends to each other. Do nothing. They'll meet if they want to meet. I'll probably immediately start catching up and then introduce.
Yeah, probably same thing.
Hey, how's it going? You know, where have you been? I haven't seen you in a long time. And you know, remember that time I friended you on Facebook and you said no. So, hey, here's my friend Sal.
I mean, it'd be weird if you didn't do that, right? Like I'm at a party with friend A, then I see you walk in.
Right. Oh, here's my new friend. Would you like to meet him?
And you just walk in. I'm like, Robert, here's Bill. Like
he's my new friend.
Without saying anything before that, that'd be kind of weird. So I would catch up, and like you said, same thing. Catch up, and then eventually I would make the introduction. At that point, unless I'm drunk, then fuck everyone. Next, this one says is K. Art, I'm sorry. Did you want to talk more about Neil Patrick Harris and how you hate him?
I didn't want to, but I saw his picture, and I know Melissa. She's tired of hearing about it, but many moons ago. We'll call this high school. So many, many moons ago, my girlfriend was stolen by a guy that we always called Doogie because he looked like Doogie Howser, MD, who happened to be none other than child actor Neil Patrick Harris.
Wait. Hold on.
So
let's pump the brakes here for a second.
How old am I? 30 years ago.
So Neil Patrick Harris himself stole your girlfriend?
No, a lookalike. Oh, we called him...
So it wasn't even him. It was a guy who looked like him.
No, but we called him Doogie. Now, meanwhile, she was, I guess, already secretly in love with Doogie. So, yeah, She went to with Doogie, and
but it wasn't him. It was just a guy. That I know, looked like, but he looked like fault. Him. I'm sure he didn't.
I associated him with it, Rob. Like Goldschlager, I associate any cinnamon smell with Goldschlager, and I will throw up. So no, I will not speak to Doogie. Mm. I will not watch any show that.
Well, he's a cool guy. He must get so much puss.
No, he likes boys.
I know.
And that's fine.
I know it was a joke. I think he's actually married.
He is. He's a good actor. We watched him in that show.
How I Met Your Mother.
We talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah, he's good. Barney. He's a good guy. He's funny. I like him.
I like Barney. I like Ted Mosby.
And the big doofy guy, he was on Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, yeah. He did a helicopter dick in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
He did.
He must have just peed in the urinal. All right. Next question. Is Kay... Wow,
this is the last one.
Oh, last question to find out who's the bigger asshole here.
I hope it gives us an answer.
Is there a score?
No, we never did any of this. I think maybe when it's done, it'll...
Yeah, I hope so. All right. Okay. So it says, is K okay? K is never okay. Never. Yeah, it's fine. And it's a legitimate response. Stop being so sensitive. Or are you serious? Why have you even read this far? Click the first one if you're not a sociopath.
So it's a text message and somebody asks you a question. Your response is usually okay. And this person just wrote K. So they were too lazy to do two letters.
I hate it.
Now I know people. One of my nieces is known to do the KK, which is the same letter, but twice, because it's too hard on your phone to move up. What's it? Quarter of an inch, if that, eighth of an inch. So KK. So she's kind of broken to that. But I remember the first time I was like, what the hell is KK? Oh, it's okay. Well, no, you said KK. Well, it's just easier.
I always feel like if somebody says K to me, they're somehow pissed off at me. Like, it's just like, okay, K, K.
You know? I'm acknowledging you just so I'm not rude, but I hate. Oh, you got an answer there. All right. Well, I'm going to answer K.
I said K is never.
Are you serious? Okay,
ever. Never.
Ever read? Click the first one. Yeah. K is never okay. You got, what's your answer?
I got not an asshole at all.
Yeah, thank you. The world needs more people like you. Have you ever considered running for president or any sort of public office? Hell, I'd love you as my comptroller. You'd be the comptroller. I wouldn't. Your whole campaign platform could be, I replace the toilet paper roll all day, every day because I care. But neither one of us said that. Well, I guess we're not assholes.
Yeah, it says I would falsify dead relatives' voting records so I could vote a few more times too. Look out for a lot of 140-year-old supporters. You, not the asshole, in 2016. So you were not an asshole at all either?
No, in fact, I got the same exact.
There's pictures, there's graphics of angels. We're angels.
We're angels.
You're welcome, world.
Well, that was fun. I think it felt like we had a good dialogue, understanding where each other was coming from.
No, I think so. And I'm glad to know that I'm not actually an asshole. So all the people that have said that I am, fuck off.
Well,
you suck.
I think we might be, just not according to BuzzFeed, which is a major major source of news.
I mean, I they're as credible to me as TMZ or The Globe.
That was fun.
That was fun.
And just like the beer, it wouldn't be a Two Bobs episode without some crazy news. So this one goes back to TTB037, Girthy Egg Rolls. And if you remember, basically starting kind of late September through almost all of October, every beer that I had was pumpkin. So this one has a bit of a pumpkin theme to it.
Yeah, and we've heard of, you know, schools being cleared out because of crazy things in the past, and a lot of those things are bona fide, but this was a little bit different of a circumstance. Actually, a pumpkin spice air freshener cleared out of school in this particular crazy news story. So, you know, it was definitely worthy of the Two Bobs.
It certainly was. I think of all the things that I've ever had the school cleared out as a kid, it was usually a fire alarm or a stink bomb or something they had to clear it. But this is, I guess, was a scent that nobody really was familiar with, and it caused quite the stir. Well, you ready for some crazy news?
Let's do crazy news. Live from the Two Bombs.
It does sound like somebody's singing through that, which is actually kind of funny. You can probably hear it.
It was me, right?
It was earlier in there. It was almost like you were doing.
Well, it was.
I know, but I hear it even when you're not there. When I was finding that music, I could hear it in my own headphones, well, and nobody was.
That's
kind of weird. Let's try it again.
The voices in your head.
Did you hear it?
All right, I did hear it a little bit.
Okay. All right, it's there.
That's awesome. I like it.
Our crazy news story this week comes from actually not too far from me in Baltimore, and it involves something that we've been talking about really over the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely. So, you know, pumpkin spice, whether it's made from pumpkin blood and unicorn tears or like just a bunch of random spices, is near and dear to our hearts, Robert. And this is funny because of the situation it caused at a high school in Baltimore that was evacuated and 5 people taken to the hospital in a hazmat scare that turned out to be none other than our favorite spice.
Pumpkin. The Cristo Rey Jesuit High School wrote on its website that a strange odor was detected on the third floor at 2:30. It was a smell they certainly weren't used to, said Bill Heiser, the school's president. It appeared to be getting stronger. School was evacuated with emergency medical teams treating some people on the scene as Baltimore City Fire Department Hazmat Unit investigated the odor.
So it says 5 members of our community were transported to area hospitals as a precautionary measure. The local CBS station reported that 4 of the patients taken to the hospital reported nausea due to the odor, and 1 was taken in for treatment on an unrelated issue, which I'd like to know more about. The Sun said the odor was traced to a plug-in aerosol air freshener with a pumpkin spice scent. It's better be safe than sorry, Baltimore Fire spokesman Raymond Clark told the newspaper. The school said classes will be held as normal on Friday. So an entire school was evacuated. People were treated on site. People were taken to the hospital and treated.
All hazmat unit.
There was a hazmat unit all over a pumpkin spice scented air freshener. So that was the best of the Two Bobs, Volume 4. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you again next week.
Bye-bye.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewelbeat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.